Welcome to Harvest Amarillo Podcast. We're excited you have chosen to listen in today. May God encourage you through this message to live a life of value, of fullness, and fruitfulness for His kingdom.
It's so good to be with you at Harvest. Thanks, Audie, for the introduction. Man, Audie's such a good friend. And Curtis, thanks for inviting me over here to share this morning. And I know many of you, and it's so good to be with you. I think I know Lyle and Shelley since I was just talking to Lyle, and I think I knew him when you were just a little kid in Boise, Idaho. I remember going over and you were in the youth group there, and how great that was to be with you there. Christian Relief Fund, we are so close to you. We're just right over on 58th Street. You know, you're about a 3 foot away. And I love being here with you, and I've wanted to come here, and Curtis and I've been talking about this, it seems like forever. And some of you have been helping for many, many years. I was talking to Alan Jove over here, and he told me he started sponsoring a kid with CRF when this little girl was 5 years old. Is that right? And now she's 17, already out of school, and it's changed her life. And that's what Christian Relief Fund does. We do three things, basically. We do child relief. We sponsor children. I've got a bunch of kids over there right on the table outside of here that you can sponsor. And for about a dollar a day, you can totally sponsor a kid. You can bring them food, clothing, education, spiritual training, a place to live if they don't have one. And you can do all of that for about a dollar a day. And I tell you what, I can spend a dollar a day pretty quickly in Amarillo and not even remember where it went. You know what I mean? And then we drill water wells. We're drilling especially in places where it hasn't rained in 8 years. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, we know what it's like to not have water right here. But can you imagine when you have no rain for 8 years and you don't have a place to go buy a bottle of water? And so we're doing that, and you've already done that. I'm going to show you some pictures because last Christmas you drilled three wells in a place called Turkana, where it hasn't rained in nearly a decade, and we planted churches there, and we got just started child sponsorship. We've even got children in that area that you can sponsor out here. And so you just, you know, maybe you don't even know who I am or heard of CRF, but you already saved a bunch of people in connection with us, and so we're very thankful. We also do disaster relief. We're helping, especially right now in Panama City. And we're all set up. We got all kinds of trailers. We're rebuilding. We're feeding people. And that guy on TV, what's his name? Emeril? Is that his name? Or Emeril? Emeril, that's it, right? He showed up at our trailer, and he's been feeding hot meals to people there that are victims of the disaster in Panama City. My son lives in Indonesia, and he's a missionary there. And they just had an earthquake, volcano, and a tsunami at the same time. I can't even imagine what that's like, but my son's over there leading a relief team over there, and so we do a lot of relief work, and pretty much if there's a world disaster, we try to do everything that we can to help. And I was in Haiti not too long ago helping a bunch of orphans, and see if you can find me in this picture. Can you find me? I'm the one wearing orange. Okay, that's me over there. I'm the one wearing orange in front of all these people. And I always wear orange. And maybe you think that's weird. Let me tell you why I wear orange. And sometimes I wear orange shirts and white pants, but I decided to reverse it today and go with the orange pants. I've got orange soles on my shoes. And anyhow, I was in Kisumu, Kenya one day. And I was just kind of walking through the streets of Kisumu, Kenya. It's a huge, huge slum. And it has all kinds of AIDS orphans there. And I got surrounded by these AIDS orphans. And they started pulling on me. And they said, did you know that orange is the color of hope for AIDS orphans in Africa? And I said, no. And they said, would you wear orange for us? And I said, well, sure. I'll wear orange for you. And then they qualified it, and I wasn't thinking. They said, every day? And I said, sure. And so I just realized that I'd committed to all these AIDS orphans to wear orange every day, and I went to Texas Tech, and we're the Red Raiders. I actually got a phone call from the chairman of the board of Texas Tech, and he says, I understand your orange deal, but I tell you what, if you show up in Lubbock, Texas on game day, you better be wearing red. So I always wear orange except for game day at Texas Tech. And so anyhow, I brought you some orange to wear too, and they're little bands. I've got them on the table out here, and I said, orange is the color of hope, right? And on these bands, it says CRF, and then on the other side, it says Tumaini, which is the Swahili word for hope. And got it? Tumaini, the Swahili word for hope. Well, this is the second batch of these that I did. And on the first batch, I was just kind of going around handing these things out. And I was one time in Uganda. And in Uganda, they actually speak Swahili, okay? And so I was passing these out, and I said, here, I've got some of these hope bracelets. It has hope in Swahili on it. And some guy holds up his hand, and he says, well, that's not the Swahili word for hope. And I said, it's not? He said, no. I said, well, what is it the Swahili word for? And he said, lust. So my name is Milton Jones. I travel all around the world handing out lust bracelets, okay? But you can have one, and these actually say hope, or you think they do. I preached, as Audie said, nearly 30 years in Seattle, Washington, and when I finally left to move to Amarillo, they gave me a going-away present, and most people, I guess, get a watch when you get a going-away present, but for me, they gave me a clinic. An AIDS clinic in Kisumu, Kenya. It's the most diseased place in the entire world. And every other person you shake hands with is HIV positive. And just all these other kinds of diseases are there too. And when I went there was no clinic. There was no medical clinic to help anybody, and yet it was the most diseased place in the entire world. And so when I left Seattle as a going-away present, they gave me a clinic. And so it's the Jones Clinic. I think I got a picture here of it. Yeah, here's the Jones Clinic in Kisumu, Kenya, and it's right in the middle of the slum. And so they built this, and I was really excited about it, and it was very helpful. And so I told the people that were going to the clinic, all these people that were HIV positive, I said, you know, it'd be really nice if you had put a verse over the door so that when people walked in, they had a verse there. And they could kind of walk in and think of something of God. And I said, but you can pick any verse you want in the Bible. I didn't pick it out. And so I was really intrigued with what they would pick. And then I was very surprised with what they picked. Because they picked Proverbs 23:18. And it says this, surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Now, here are these people entering this building, and most of them have full-blown AIDS. And the verse they wanted to pick was this one. Surely there is a future where most people have full-blown AIDS, aren't thinking about the future, and your hope will not be cut off. That there's nothing that can cut off hope from you. And they always ask me to teach a class when I'm there. And the class, it's their favorite class that they want me to teach. And the class is called How to Die. You know, and usually when I get asked places in the United States, they don't say, oh, we'd really love you to come and preach and tell us how to die. But these people are dying. They got full-blown AIDS. They know they don't have much time on the earth. And yet they're saying, surely there's a future and your hope will not be cut off. And so they asked me to teach this class on how to die. And I always end it the same way. This is how I end the class. There is no cure for AIDS, but there is a cure for death. You got that? Because of the power of the resurrection, because Jesus Christ conquered death, it does not matter what you're facing, even if you have AIDS, even if you're about to die, there is a future for you and there is a hope for you. So they didn't have to worry about dying because they had hope. Let me tell you about another story. Same place. I'm going to kind of tell you several stories that happened in the same area. Right there where they built the clinic, I was standing one day and just talking to some people, and I looked over to my left, and there was this little kid standing there. Let me show you his picture here. Okay, it was this kid, and he's standing to my left. And so he just kind of just standing there looking at me, and after a while I thought, what's this kid doing standing there looking at me? And so I asked the person I was talking to, I said, who is this kid? And he said, he just came here to see you. And I said, well, I like his shirt. He's wearing an orange shirt. And they said, that's not his shirt. I said, what do you mean? He said, he went all around the slum asking people if they had an orange shirt that he could borrow for today so he could wear an orange shirt when he met you because he knew you were orange. And I said, tell me about him. He said, well, he's an AIDS orphan. His parents died of AIDS. They said, he's not in school, and he's kind of hoping that if he meets you, that you might get him sponsored so he'll get to go to school. Doesn't eat regularly. You'll notice on his back he's got a big hump. It's because he's got a tumor. And so I thought, I better go talk to this kid. So I went over and to this little kid in the orange shirt, and I bent down, shook his hand, and asked the question that would be the first question you'd probably ask too. What question would you ask? What's your name? That's right. What's your name? He looked up at me and said, Milton. And it wasn't a joke. Here was this kid, and his name was Milton, and he's wearing an orange shirt. And right then, it just kind of hit me. It was one of those big, kind of transcendent questions that I didn't know quite how to answer it, but I asked myself this question: why? Why me and why him? Here's little Milton in an orange shirt. Here's big Milton in an orange shirt. Little Milton does not have any money. Big Milton has a bunch of money. Little Milton doesn't get to eat very often. I eat way too much. Here's little Milton that does not have an education at all. Here's big Milton who's gone to school, it seems like, forever. Here's little Milton who's lost his parents of AIDS. Here's big Milton who didn't. Here's little Milton who's got a big tumor on his back, and here's big Milton that doesn't. And I said, why? Why am I this way, and why is he that way? And then it dawned on me that I have won the cosmic lottery by being born when I was born and where I was born. I have won the cosmic lottery because there's no people on earth who have it as good as we've had it. And I'm not saying that to you this morning to make you feel guilty, because that's not going to do any good. I'm telling you that this morning to make you feel grateful. It's not wrong to have what you have, but wow, shouldn't we be thankful for what we have? And here are all these things that I've got standing before little Milton, and I'm not even realizing how blessed I am. So I'm not saying it to make you feel guilty. I want you to feel grateful, and I want you to give. You actually can't help the little Miltons of the earth. You know, and so filled out, you know, a little form. I have these little forms out on the table, filled out a little form on little Milton and all this. It really wasn't that hard to get little Milton sponsored. My wife did it. And the beautiful Barbie Jones back here. And every time she sees a kid named Milton, she sponsors him immediately. And so now all these kids in Africa are getting named Milton because they think that Barbie will help them out. Well, shortly after, I was in another place, and right there where we were in Kisumu, where Audie's been many, many times, and I saw this other kid, and I've got his picture too. Yeah, I got this kid. He's got a great smile, and I'd met this kid before, but he was kind of waiting to talk to me also. His name is Oscar Amandi, and Oscar ran up to me, and I remember the first time I met Oscar. He was quite striking because he had this smile, but he's also quite striking because he had burns all over his body. Because the person who'd raised him burned him all the time. And so I needed to get him out of where he was living. So I took a little picture of him and got him a little promo like this made and started carrying him around hoping to get him sponsored. And so got him sponsored by a lady named Sarah Gordon. She lives in Seattle, Washington, and she's a seamstress. There's a little bitty theater there. They're trying to put on Christian plays, you know, and so it's not real successful in Seattle, Washington, but they keep trying, and people come to it, and she makes the costumes. And so she's not very wealthy, but she thought, I can come up with a dollar a day to help this little kid that's got this great smile. And so Oscar comes up to talk to me, and I said, what's going on, Oscar? And he said, well, I got good news, bad news, and good news. And I said, wow, well, tell me the good news. And he said, well, have you ever heard of an achievement test? And I said, I have. And he said, well, it's this huge test, and it's got hundreds of questions on it. and they're trying to make people take it. And they came here to our school here, to our Sierra school in the slum, and they said we had to take it. And so I had to take this test. And it had hundreds of questions on it. I mean, you can't believe how many questions it had on it. And so I had to take this because they were going to try to close down our school because they said AIDS orphans were stupid. And so this would give them the proof that we were stupid so they could close down our school. And I said, well, how'd you do on that test, Oscar? And he said, well, I got them all right. I said, you did what? I said, let me understand, you got every single question on the test right. You answered them all correctly. He said, yeah. And he said, it's kind of weird because I said that had never been done before in history, in the history of our country. Nobody had ever gotten them all right. He said, nobody had ever been close. And he said, but I got them all right. And I said, well, that's great news, Oscar. Congratulations. And I said, well, what's your bad news? He said, they wouldn't believe me. And they said that I cheated, and so they wouldn't count the score. And I said, well, that's terrible, Oscar. And he said, yeah. They said I was going to have to take it again. They sent somebody from Nairobi over here, and this man was going to just stand over my shoulder. He was going to stand over my shoulder as I took it to make sure that I could not cheat. I said, well, that is bad. And he said, I said, but how'd you do when you took it over again? He says, well, that's the good news. I got them all right again. And I thought about that, and I realized here we could argue, couldn't we objectively, that this was the smartest child in all of Kenya, the smartest child in the entire country, and he nearly didn't even get to go to school. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine that? The smartest kid in all the United States, and he didn't even get to go to school? And here's this seamstress in Seattle, Washington, trying to make costumes for a Christian theater. She says, maybe I can help that kid with a big smile. And she got an education for the smartest child in the entire country. We call this day Orphan Sunday, and we're trying to raise awareness of orphans all over the world, the millions that we have. And it's a day that you can do something. You can sponsor a kid like Milton, or you can sponsor a kid like Oscar Omondi. One day I was over there in Kenya, and it was real near where Oscar and Milton lived, and I saw that the district hospital was running a sale of mosquito nets, and they had them 75% off for a mosquito net. And the reason you need mosquito nets is because over there's a lot of malaria. And I don't know if you realize this, but 2,000 children a day die of malaria. Did you know there was a cure for malaria when Theodore Roosevelt was president? And yet 2,000 kids a day die of malaria. So I thought, well, we can get some mosquito nets. And we had about 400 or 500 orphans there, and I counted up all the money that I had, and I thought, with all the money I've got on me, we can go, and I think I can get mosquito nets for, you know, I think I was getting about 500 mosquito nets. And so I was pretty excited, so I went with the guy that's director of our program there in that slum. His name's Jared Odiombo. And so I took Jared, and we went to the district hospital to get mosquito nets. There's a man there at the desk, and I come in and I say, you know, I need 500 mosquito nets. I hear they're on sale. And he said, they sure are on sale. Let me go get you some. And so he starts walking back, and he said, did you say 500? And I said, yeah, I need 500 mosquito nets. He said, why would you need 500 mosquito nets? And he said, well, because I'm helping out the AIDS orphans down in the Olinda slum. And he said, you're buying 500 mosquito nets to help AIDS orphans? And I said, yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. And he said, don't you know they're going to die anyway? He said, if you're buying these for those AIDS orphans, you can just pay regular price. I was getting a little bit livid. Okay. And there was this desk between this man and me. And I was about coming over, I was just about coming over the desk at this guy. And so Jared, he's with me, he starts pulling me, yanking me from jumping over the desk at this guy. And he said, hey, don't do anything that you would regret. And I said, I don't think I'll regret it. And then he finally just pulled me outside. And he said, Milton, he said, that man in there does not see the world like you and I see the world. He said, you and I see the world through the lens of James 1:27. He said, this man does not. And if you don't know what James 1:27 says, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I think that's what Christian Relief Fund tries to do. We try to get people to look at the world through the lens of James 1:27. And on a day that they call and they designate Orphan Sunday, it's good to put on those lenses, isn't it? And just realize that there's so many orphans in the world. And today's Orphan Sunday. And we're already doing something about it. And some of you have been doing something about it for a long time. But maybe today we could do more. Or maybe today if you're not doing something, you could do something. You could sponsor a kid on this Orphan Sunday. The BBC did a study, and I was real scared about this study that came out. It was on the best ways to alleviate poverty. And the reason I was scared when it came out is I thought, that's what I want to do, but what if I'm doing the wrong thing? You know, like what if I'm not? And so the BBC did this study, and they came out with two things after studying decades of alleviating poverty. They said there were two things that were the two best things in all of their study and research that you could do. And the number one thing that they said to do was sponsor a child. They said, and as they look back decades, really, they couldn't find anything that was much more effective than sponsoring a child. And it's very personal, and when you sponsor a child, it's your child, and you're the only one that has that child, and you can write that child, and they can write you. But it just kind of changes things because that becomes your child. And the second thing they said to do was this: bring clean water to a place that doesn't have clean water. And I know you did that recently, and I think I've got a picture of your wells here. That's our rig that we had, and it's a great rig. It'll go 900 feet, which is pretty deep. And I went to Texas Tech, as Audie said. The chairman of the board of Texas Tech, he gave us that rig, $600,000 rig, gave us that so that we could drill for water in places where it hasn't rained in nearly a decade. And that's the rig that we used to drill three water wells from Harvest that you drilled. And I have pictures. Yeah, you can see there's three wells here that you see all the children here at the wells. Those are wells that you drilled. You drilled. You gave the money last Christmas. We drilled those wells, and we planted churches there, and we're kind of beginning schools there. And what you really did when you drilled a well is you didn't just drill a well. You started a town. Because I used to think, Audie and I went over there years ago, and I first thought, we find the people that don't have water and drill them a well. Well, no, that didn't work. You find a geologist to tell you where the water is, and you drill and get water, and the people will come. And that's what happened three different times, that you can see where they used to get water, and that place is totally polluted, just totally polluted. You drink that water, you'll get typhoid. But are you going to drink that water? Absolutely, because that's all they got. That's all they had to do before you brought clean water. Let me tell you my favorite hope story, and I'll close after this. But my favorite hope story, I was over in this place that Audie and I go sometimes to where we drill water. And anyhow, we hit water nearly every time. Used to, they said we were crazy to drill for water there because there was no water. It's just that nobody was drilling deep enough. When you drill as deep as we drill, there's water nearly every time. In fact, we've hit 98 out of our last 100 wells we've hit water on. And so anyhow, we're drilling in this place, and we didn't hit water. And there was this man, I think I got his picture here, this old man, and the one on the left here. We didn't hit water, and he's watching this whole thing. And he's got great hope here because he knows if we hit water here, there'll be a new town here that he can move to. And he knows that they'll get a church there. And they know that we'll eventually get a school there. And children will be sponsored. And all these goats, you've heard of this shackathon they have down at West Texas A&M, and they buy all those goats. Well, they send them to this place where you drill the well. That's where they go. And so they'll have goats there. They'll have water to start farms. They'll have children taken care of. And so everything in their whole life changes if they get water. And he's watching as people gather around watching us drill for water, and we don't hit. And right when we don't hit, he's realizing, no farms, no goats, no church, no school, nothing, just because we didn't get water. And so he comes over to our rig, and we're about to pull everything up, move on. And he says, before you move on, he said, can I do something? And we said, what? He says, I'd like to just get down on my knees and pray over this spot. And he said, sure. So he goes over there and he gets down on his knees and prays. And he prays right where we're drilling on this spot. And he prays for 30 minutes. And he gets up and he comes back over to us. He says, you know what? Is there any possibility that you could just wait a little bit before you pull out of here? And I said, okay, we can wait. And so ended up waiting 5 hours. Then they go back over here to where this test pumping unit is, and they pull these various levers and all this, and you know what comes out of there? Where we've been drilling before? What comes out? Water comes out. That's right. Water comes out of this thing. And I mean, can you imagine, you know, that lost all hope, and then water comes out. And they're realizing food, schools, churches, goats, everything, just because this water comes out. And so he comes back and he says, you don't know what happened there. And we say, yeah, you prayed and water came. He says, I think we get it. And he says, no, you don't get it at all. We said, well, what happened? And he said, well, you don't know that I've come to this spot. This old man, he said, I came to this spot. He says, I've come to this spot every day of my life and prayed for water. I said, every day of your life you come to this spot and pray for water? He says, I prayed for water at this spot long before y'all came. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And he says, but you don't understand. You don't know why I came and prayed for water at this spot. And so I asked, why? And he said, well, I came and prayed for water here because my father did. My father came to this spot, and he prayed for water every day of his life. And as a kid, I just grew up praying for water at this spot. When my father died, I kept coming to this spot and praying for water. And I said, wow, that's amazing. He says, yeah, but you don't understand. I said, what don't I understand? He says, you don't know why my father came to this spot and prayed. And I said, why? And he said, because my grandfather came to this spot and prayed for water every day. And so my father did, and I did. And then I started just kind of thinking about this in my head, looking at his age and thinking about the age of his father and thinking about the age of his grandfather. And then it dawned on me, they had been coming to this spot praying for water for over 100 years. Can you imagine that? Now that's hope. That's hope, to pray for something 100 years and not give up. That's hope. And see, there are people praying. I don't know how long they prayed over the spots where you drilled, but perhaps they're like that spot. You got people praying 100 years because they know their only future will be if those prayers are answered and they get water. And you know what? You are the answer to the prayers. Sometimes God is saying, there's going to be water here, but it's going to take Harvest Amarillo Church, and I'm going to work through them and bring water and save lives and even little children. I've got even some children that are from here that are going to get to go to school now. Somebody sponsors them. You see, you brought hope. And I'm talking about hope for orphans on Orphan Sunday, and you can help so much. But some of you, you know, it might be hard to listen to a message like this because you're overwhelmed because you don't have much hope yourself. Things are going bad, maybe financial problems, maybe health problems, maybe spiritual problems, just not getting along with people. And you prayed about it, and nothing's really changed. I'm telling you what. I love it when you pray once and God answers your prayer, yes, but what I've discovered is that some things take a whole lot of prayers. And I discovered from that man, sometimes it takes 100 years of prayers. And so if you've only prayed once or twice or 15 or 20 times and you still just kind of feel a little bit hopeless, don't give up. You keep praying and you pray and you pray and you pray again, because you got a God who has a future for you. And like those people who had AIDS there, your hope will not be taken away. They didn't want to walk through a building without remembering that. That my hope will not be cut off. Barbie and I will be back here. I'd love to talk to you. I've got kids to sponsor. But I want to pray a blessing over you right now. And I'm really thankful for this church. I mean, you've made a difference worldwide. You really have. And I hope, you know, you feel good. You know, I hope you're not just feeling guilty. I hope you're feeling good because you have helped. And we're a church that's going to help some more right here in Amarillo and around the world. Lord, thank you so much for Harvest Amarillo Church. I'm thankful for the people here that have saved orphans. I'm thankful for the people here who have saved and started communities by giving water. Lord, I'm thankful that you just blessed us so much. We have won the cosmic lottery. And Lord, we are thankful for that. And Lord, I'm also just praying for any individuals here who maybe have given up hope, that they'll know that with you there is a future and hope will not be cut off. Help them to believe again. And Lord, if somebody's just asked 20 times and about to give up, help them to ask one more time and one more time and not give hope. Give up hope because you are our God. You are our help. And you answer prayers. And we pray in the powerful name of Jesus, the resurrected one. Amen.